So let's go to India in the rural villages of one of the states called Uttar Pradesh. But before I go into my presentation, I have with my co-author, Dr. Roma Solomon. She is the director of Core Group Polio Project in India, and she has more than 30 years of experience in development sector. She's a qualified doctor, so she will take you through the what core group is and how the children were involved in polio eradication. So Dr. Roma, please take them through. Thank you.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you for coming to our session. So as Reena said, we're taking you to the other side of the world. Just to show you how we use children. We used and we are still using children as mobilizers. So we work for the Core Group Polio Project, which is a core consortium formed of international and national NGOs. And the India consortium is formed with Project Concern, ADRA, and the Catholic Relief Services. And the implementation is through their local NGO partners. And we belong to the India Secretariat, where we provide the technical assistance to the project. We had a very dynamic polio program, polio eradication program, as some of you may have heard. We started working with the government in 1999. So we are like veterans of the polio eradication program. And I wonder if some of you have heard, if most of you have heard, that we haven't had a polio case in India for the last 4 years. And we have 180 million children under the age of 5 years in our country, a birth cohort of 27 million. And earlier we were working in various states of India, and tracking the virus we came down to Uttar Pradesh, which is the most populous state in India, with 215 million, with a population of 215 million. And we started working very hopefully. The polio program was welcomed because it was booth-based. Booths were set up and polio drops were given to children. It was a happy program. It was a big people's program. Then slowly something happened. We'll take you through that. So what happened that the government and we realized that we were not reaching all the children. All the children were not being brought to the booths. And so the government in its wisdom decided to go house to house with the polio drops. And then people started becoming suspicious. Because you don't give us any other health service at home and on our doorsteps. Why are you coming home? And they thought the oral polio vaccine was a birth control drug, and two drops meant two children. Okay, it was very, very difficult to get that out of people's minds, or it was an HIV/AIDS drug, or it was something lethal that was coming out from the US after post 9/11. All sorts of rumors, and you know how rumors spread in a very closed society. So we looked around and we hired mobilizers from the same communities. These are young girls, to overcome this resistance and sustain community participation. And what these mobilizers do, each mobilizer has about 400 to 500 households allocated to her. There are a few males as well. And they have one-to-one interactions with mothers. They have group meetings. They have meetings with influential people in their communities. And they were the ones who said, you know, the most non-threatening messengers of this program would be children. Because people don't associate children with any dangerous thing or dangerous drug. And so we thought we'd use the messengers. So we started taking school children out to the communities, and they used to go with bands and things and, you know, request the mothers to bring auntie to give us this child, and you know, you would see a small child with about 4 or 5 children, babies hanging on, they would bring them to the booths for polio drops. This started working. This was very successful. And then we realized that we could use them a little more. We started using children from grade 3 to grade 8. About 9 to 10 children in each band. So they sort of, apart from doing crowd control at the booths, they go in and get after the mothers to bring their children. They also carry the children to the booths. And whichever child brings more children gets a prize. Actually, in the end, everybody gets something or the other. And we started with rubbers, erasers, we started with rulers and pencils. Then we got on to pencil boxes. And there, you should see the, they act not only like messengers, they act like almost like crowd control police people. They're like monitors, like school monitors. They keep all the children in line. And they have access to homes that the health workers wouldn't have. They also take out rallies just before the campaign, before the polio day, and they inform parents, their own parents, about immunization. They bring the children, they bring their siblings and other children. And so we decided to start branding them. And Reena will show you a sample of the aprons that they get to wear. They're very, very proud of these aprons. They also get masks. Rotary International provided a lot of masks and whistles and things, and we give them a badge. So they sort of melted the mothers in the communities, and they started giving their children over for immunization. And even very, very resistant families are unable to say no to these young messengers. That's how we use these school children. For routine immunization, however, we encourage the children to ask the parents to visit the site, to bring the child, because then the parent would have an interaction with the vaccinator and get the messages and things across. So like I told you, that more the babies, the more the prizes. And we have about 1,500 bands of children who reach out to about 400,000 mothers. Reena will take you through the rest.
Thank you, Dr. Roma. So, as Roma briefed you, the involvement of children in the polio program and routine immunization, and how we have influenced other behaviors, I'll just take you through with that. So before we move into the details of it, I just want you to watch this 3-minute film, which doesn't have English or dialogues, but there is subtitles out there. Oh, sorry.
साफ सफाई देखते हैं, 5 बजे स्कूल की सफाई देखते हैं। और पांच बच्चे हाथ धोने की प्रक्रिया को ले।
नमस्ते, कहा मुझे कैसे आना होगा?
मैम, आने वाले इतवार को पोलियो बूथ है, तो उसी के सिलसिले में 5 क्लास के बच्चों के साथ पोलियो क्लास लेनी थी, तो आपकी इजाजत की जरूरत थी।
ठीक है बेटा, कल जिस दिन तक मैं आ जाए ना।
आज मैं पोलियो से संबंधित कुछ नए इतवार बताऊंगी आपको, आप लोग मिलेंगे।
जिस दिन इन बस को उससे पहले हम कक्षा 4 और 5 के बच्चों को तैयार करते हैं, और जो समझदार बच्चे होते हैं उन बच्चों की स्टोरी बनाते हैं। लगभग 9 या 10 बच्चों की हम स्टोरी बनाते हैं।
बुलावर टोली थी जुड़ी हुई, और मैं हंसराज आदम के बच्चों को क्लास लेके आती थी और उन्हें पोलियो क्लास दिलवाती थी, और आज मैं रजिस्ट्रेशन ट्रेनिंग कर रही हूँ।
जब हम पूछते हैं इनसे भाई क्या सिखाया जाता है, कैसे रहना चाहिए, कैसे रहना सहना चाहिए, साफ सफाई का क्या ध्यान रखना चाहिए, तो बच्चे कहते हैं कि खाना खाएं, हम स्कूल से आते हैं खाना खाते हैं तो साबुन से हाथ धोकर खाना खाएं तो हम बीमारियों से बचेंगे, कि बच्चों का टीकाकरण होगा। लेकिन ये जो है ये कार्ड है, ये सब स्कूल से
स्कूल में बच्चों को सिखाया कि बच्चा पहले बताना कि खाना ढक कर बनाओ, ढक कर रखो, सफाई से बनाओ, पानी जमा ना करो, ये काम ना करो, वे काम ना करो, सफाई रखो, मक्खी बाल देख कर रखो, ये सब काम बच्चे आगे बताओ उसका जाना है करते हैं।
So as you've seen in the film that there were like 2 behaviors that were very pertinent, and we followed it right from the beginning. One is ensure that the immunization is done of each children, and second is hand washing. So hand washing we started right from the school, and we involved all the school authorities and some of the children. And how we did that used to be done by conducting a class. And we named it as a polio class, because that was the time where we were really addressing the how virus is circulating and how we can stop the virus transmission. So polio class is something that was really, you know, given in all the schools, and all our mobilizers, which Roma has talked about, they were responsible to conduct these polio classes in every school wherever a school is within her vicinity area, the mobilizer's vicinity area. So then we thought, you know, that this is the time, okay, we have done this polio class and we have talked only about polio class, and community was kind of a little bored, you know, you're only talking about polio, polio, polio. Even the children were also asking a lot of questions about other things. So we thought, let's inject, you know, some other component into it. So we thought of injecting some innovation ideas in these 2 activities. And what are those? I'll just take you through. So the polio class later was got converted into fun class. In Hindi, I mean, in our local language, it's called Masti Ki Kaksha. I mean, it's fun class which has a lot of fun in it. So how to create that fun? We made this small booklet. It's a drawing booklet and it's an educational drawings are there. So we have selected group of children in like minimum 30 children in one class. So they were given these drawing booklets and color pencils or crayons. So each student will have to fill up with colors, and then the mobilizers and the teacher will ask them, what have you colored today? And accordingly, they will answer that, okay, you know, in this drawing, I have seen a virus. I don't know what virus is that. So then the children will discuss about what virus it could be. Is it a polio, or it's a diarrhea, or it's some other virus? So that's how this really created a lot of fun in the class. And then once we are done with these, all the pages are filled up, then we further improvised it. We said, okay, now you create a story out of it as per your own thinking. So that's what is going on right now. So this is again, you know, learning by doing educational coloring booklets that we have implemented. And from that classroom, we have identified 5 or 6 children who are the messengers of fun, and they are called Masti Ke Doot. I mean, that's a Hindi word for it. So as you said in the film, you know, our Indian rooster would say kukuruku. I know American rooster would say cock-a-doodle-doo. So the rallies which Roma talked about, the polio rally, we converted that polio rally to a cock-a-doodle-doo rally. So the main idea behind this implementation is to stop open defecation and also to talk about hand washing after defecation and before feeding the child. See, in India, I mean, you must have seen in other part of the world as well, normally early in the morning and late evening people go for open defecation. So the entire idea was to implement this kukuruku rally is to have this rally early in the morning, but there were a lot of resistance came from the community. Our mobilizers, teachers, even students and parents were not ready to do it early in the morning. Early in the morning means like 6 or 5:30 in the morning. So there was some security problems. So we said, okay, give us your time. What time you would like to do it? So they said, we will do it after 8 in the morning. So we gave them this liberty. Fine, it's your idea and you do it as per your convenience. So they started doing it after 8 and in the evenings as well. The whole idea is they will go with the placard, but they won't say any word or any slogan is not narrated there. So they will only say kukuruku, kukuruku, that's it. So the community was very curious and eager to know about why they are shouting only kukuruku and they are not talking anything else apart from kukuruku. So there were a lot of discussion, you know, so it really stimulated the discussions among the community and the groups that were watching these rallies. So that's how, that was the phase when we implemented. So first 3 months was implementation phase and this was the strategy that we applied. And later on we built on to the slogans as children said we want to now talk about slogans. The slogans were also made by the children. We never gave them any slogans. So this was slogans as you have seen in the film, they were making their own slogans. So that was the kukuruku rally, and each rally has its own route map. We don't follow one route map. So every time if it is happening this week, so there will be a different route map. Next week it will be a different route map. So you cover the entire village by making a route map. Then these children, they also helped us in creating a festive affair specially for polio immunization and routine immunization session sites. So they really turned out to be a very good booth monitors, and they decorate the booth. They also have, you know, call up the influencers to inaugurate it. So it's a very festive affair that children are able to create it. So without them, these booths are really very dull otherwise. And also we have tried to keep the synergy very well along with the school authority people, otherwise, you know, there's no ownership. So the school teachers are also, we give them training on how to do it, what to do it, what are the key messages and what are the key activities that can be carried away. They also provide their ideas to it. So we are very much fully involved in bringing the school authorities on board and for the planning and execution of the activities. And the fun classes are also now, that has become an ongoing activities in the school activities, and they have ensured that all the children, we have a midday meal activity, I don't know if you are aware of it, where all the children gets a midday meal. Are you aware of this midday meal scheme? No. In our country, in rural areas, all the children, they get one meal during the day, and that is given at the lunch time. So during that time, we ensure that all the children, before they have any food, they must wash their hands. So earlier in these schools, there were no soap available, there was no source of water that was available where they can wash their hand. So we had to really mobilize the school authority to do that. And now more than 1,000 schools where we know that this water and soap is available. And children do wash their hand before having that meal. So, and also in assembly, means in the morning, whenever there is an assembly happening, the school, these messengers, they check nails of each and every student. That have you cut their nail or is it clean? Your dress is clean? Have you had a bath today? So all these things are checked by these messengers. The dustbins are also placed in the school premises and it ensures cleanliness in the school campus. So by doing this, as you have seen in the film, the parents are also very influenced. They listen to what their children are saying, like they ensure that hands are being washed, foods are being covered, and they ensure immunization as well. So what the results is that more than 100,000 families are reached with these messages, and there are more than 1,500 bands of children we have. 1,000 schools are involved in this. And our booth coverage has really improved as compared to the areas where we are not working, means where we don't have our mobilizers working in there. So there is only 47.1% booth coverage, whereas ours is 82.4% booth coverage. So that's the end result. And yes, we haven't checked the other parameters, like, you know, how many schools really have continuous availability of water and soap. We are going to do that as well. So thank you very much to listen to us. Thanks a lot. And if you have any questions, please, we shall be happy to answer. No questions? Okay. Oh, okay.
Any thoughts of seeing if the incidence of infectious disease diarrhea goes down?
Yeah, we do. We are talking about that, and we are collecting data on that. Yes, because that will tell us, you know, hands are being washed or not, and how it's being practiced at the home level also or not. Yeah. It's a teacher, and there is a community health volunteers each village has, who are working with us. So we give training to them, they give training to the teachers, and then perhaps teachers give training to the students. That's the cycle.
Is the school year going all year round, or do you have like breaks in school the same way that we do here?
It's every month we do it.
School vacation.
Oh, school vacation, yes. We have 2 months of school vacation, that time we don't do it. Yeah. That's the period where we really, if there is any campaign going on, we really have a hard time, you know, involving children. But yes, children are always there in the community. So to bring out rallies and all is not a problem. But yes, to conduct a polio class gets so difficult.
I just wonder, that might be a good time to kind of measure, okay, during this period are we seeing spikes?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Yeah, Peter.
Yeah. Just the hand washing, I was very curious to see how the hand washing is done. Is it done by, I saw like somebody older, not a child, helping them to wash hands. Am I right?
She's singing a song.
Oh, she's there. We have a song also. It's a 60-second song which ensures that you wash your hand properly. You know, so they sing that song along while cleaning their hand. So that's why you see all the children were singing as well as they were washing their hands.
And the school don't have TP taps because they feel that you wash your hands, it's better with flowing water.
We do have that hand pump.
Okay.
Yeah.
They use buckets.
Buckets. We have hand pumps and somewhere we have tap as well. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Okay, I'd like to ask for another quick round of applause for all of our speakers for their very informative presentations. And the session still has about another 15 minutes remaining, and we'll go ahead and open it up for questions for any of the speakers at this time. Are there any questions? Yes.
Is there any hope?
my tenth is that if we have, you talked about how we help addicts that are core, the common core, which may, of course, may not happen. But why not put the self-education in the common core? If you're going to read something and demand critical thinking, why not have it involve health education? If you're going to do math or science, why not have it involve health education? Why does it have to be something? Why can't it just be part of the more academic framework? Are there barriers to that? Are there ways of making it happen?
Well, I think some of the barriers are that most teachers teach what's in the textbook. So it's a matter of working with the textbook. It's actually a matter of working with the textbook publishers who publish math and language arts books to incorporate. And you can do that for, there's content, but they have found that, this is called infused instruction, that where only infused instruction is used, then a lot of health content isn't done. For instance, a lot of classroom teachers not trained in health education do not want to touch sexuality. You know, so we don't bother to teach that because we're not comfortable with it. It's, even if it's in the book, we skip that. That's just one example. And also in health, a well-trained health educator is actually helping in skills development. The National Health Education Content Standards include things like helping with decision making, helping with problem solving, helping with communication skills around health, helping with knowing how to select items. And these are not skills that are included in the math or the language arts common core ideas. So if you're trying to get to the affective and the behavioral, those are not incorporated into the common core. I mean, it's not part of it. And so that, you know, it could be, but the teaching content takes different skills than teaching in the skills base for teachers, and so they have to be trained, and most of the people teaching math and English are not trained, so it would be training them and doing their, well, training them and training the, what I used to teach at the college level, and health education methods class was required of all elementary and special ed teachers, not just those that were health specialists. You know, so it's possible if colleges and universities include that in the training, and it's possible that it would be included in textbooks, but that's getting it to happen.
Another question?
Yeah, the context was free on university due to certified teachers for the state. It's mandated every, like, infusion has to be done. So every student, every teacher, through the process of how to teach education, has to go through what's called comprehensive school education, whereby they have to learn to infuse jobs in their career, but they might have to be math, English. So in Connecticut, they've been doing, I think, New Hampshire, Boston, they begin to pick that up. It's under the National Health Education Standards. So I think Georgia also does that. I don't know what state here, but Connecticut is mandated. You have to go through that class for you to actually get that education and also to teach.
Yeah, and again, the data from the SHIP study, School of Policies and Programs study, which looks at what actually happens, how much time is spent, and what content is covered, has found that the ideal is the infused plus the separate. If you have only the infused, that the range of what is covered is limited and the amount of time is limited. So it's not as robust as a separate class or as the combined.
Yeah, and just to speak to that point too, nationally, with all of our work, with especially the large urban districts, so we run an urban school wellness coalition where we're working with 20 of the largest urban districts in the country, and what we found is none of them have any plans around health education. They maybe have tried something, but in terms of comprehensive health education, a lot of districts aren't doing it. It's not very well supported in a number of different states. I know, speak to Chicago's work, they just this year released the health education scope and sequence for the first time to provide teachers with more support, and it's very focused on integration into existing core subjects. So I think there's something to be said about bringing light to health education as a separate subject to really emphasize the importance of it and to create systemic change and to, you know, really kind of encourage universities to integrate health education as a core component of their teaching. But we need both. I mean, we really do need both.
And I just want to add, if you think about what's important in life for students to learn. So I ask a question, and I'll ask this question. How many people here in the last week have conjugated a verb? How many people here last week have solved a quadratic equation? How many people here last week made a decision about what to eat? Okay, so if we say, well, we should diminish health education so that we can focus on the core content, but you think about, as an adult, throughout your life, what's most important, what are the most important skills? We look at healthcare, you know, what's hurting the national economy. The healthcare costs are killing us because people don't know how to access services, because they're not promoting health, they're not doing it. People are not making good decisions, they're buying products that are useless or that, you know, so if we can help people make better decisions as a society, you know, then there is value, and we shouldn't just diminish it and say, well,
I would argue that putting it in the core, as part of the common core, as a win-win situation. For one thing, you won't be asking kids to read about stuff that doesn't mean anything to them. Mm-hmm. You'll be asking them to read about stuff that actually is practical application. Mm-hmm. And you'll be using things like things that you need to teach in mm-hmm. health education, like critical thinking, analysis, decision making, communication. It's a good opportunity to teach communication.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well,
you know, these are all things, these are all part of the four C's. So,
yeah.
You know,
I don't disagree with you.
Is there a question over here?
I'm just going to make a comment. I work with the National Association of State Boards of Education, and I've also spent a lot of time in Virginia working with the Department of Education when I was with the Department of Health. And I just revamped Virginia's underage drinking prevention curriculum, which is offered through health and PE and driver's ed classes. Virginia also has extensive standards of learning for health.
Mm-hmm.
So I absolutely agree. There needs to be more of a way to integrate, but health is huge. And health involves a lot more than learning about health content. It involves having kids experience resistance and refusal, peer pressure, substance abuse prevention, all the sexuality issues, everything. So we actually do diminish. I think we diminish health, and I so value health education. I wish we actually elevated it, because it's so much more than this sort of didactic information dissemination. So I would encourage folks to take a look at Virginia's standard of learning for health, because it's online and you can Google it, and because it really goes for K-12